My little grandmother was born with a crippled arm, and I still can see her at the front door, that little arm, and her other arm would just form a circle to gather us in. And I want to leave a picture like that for my children, and for them to treat the world in that way, to be open to the world.
Welcome to the Legacy Project. My name is Jim Koppel, president of the Servant Forward Foundation. We're an organization committed to leadership development with a specific focus on service. This podcast and its related activities are about sharing the legacy we have inherited and discussing the legacy we still want to create. Legacy is more than cars, houses, boats, and material possessions that we want to leave to the next generation. Rather, legacy is about core values and beliefs that we inherited from a previous generation. They are the values that shaped us and defined us. Legacy is also about the values we develop or create that can be passed on or shared with the next generation. We will interview people from various backgrounds and walks of life. Some are famous, some, well, maybe not so famous, and others are simply our neighbors, our friends, people who live ordinary lives doing extraordinary things. Become part of this project by being intentional about legacy. More than just memories, but principles that have guided our lives and shaped our decisions. What is the legacy you choose to create? That's what we want to discover. Welcome to the Legacy Project. This is Jim Koppel, and we're sitting today with Vera Hantz, a longtime friend, colleague, mentor, and so much more. I've known Vera since I was 14 years old. And we're here in Canute, Oklahoma, at their family farm and homestead. Seven generations have lived here. And this is an ideal place for us to record the Legacy Project. And the Legacy Project focuses on those things that have influenced and shaped us, and also the legacy that we want to leave behind. Vera, thanks for being a part of this.
I'm happy to be, Jim.
Vera, why is legacy important? Why do you think legacy is important to your life? Or all lives, for that matter.
Well, we become who we are from our roots. They don't make us who we are, but they shape what we become. I have my ancestors to thank that I've inherited the genes I have, which appear to be fairly good, I hope. Also, the way I see the world has been shaped through their lives. And I have six grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren, and I hope that I leave to them a legacy of love. My little grandmother was born with a crippled arm, and I still can see her at the front door, that little arm, and her other arm would just form a circle to gather us in. And I want to leave a picture like that for my children, and for them to treat the world in that way, to be open to the world.
Yeah. Who are some of the influences in your life, and who helped shape your legacy?
I had a great uncle that lived across the creek from us who prayed every day in the loft of his barn, the hayloft. And I grew up as a young child hearing him praying in that barn. And I was a scaredy child. I was afraid of my shadow, I think. I was afraid to cross that crazy wooden bridge to cross the creek to get to his house. But I'd hear him praying, and I knew Uncle Murray was praying for me. That was a powerful, and he was just a solid, good man. I had a lady pastor that was incredibly influential in my life. My mother and dad, seeing how they dealt with conflict and even conflict with each other, helped shape my understanding of how we work through things. All my reading, and part of that has been because of your recommendations. Yeah. You've been a powerful influence, Jim, sometimes in sharp statements that would draw me up short, Other times, leading and understanding, especially things in the world, theology, thinking, your intelligence, your way of looking at things has been a major shaper in my life. I could probably go on and on.
Of all the years I've known you, I don't think it ever resonated with me or clicked in your history or past that you had a lady pastor. How did a lady pastor influence you?
You know, it was remarkable that we did. It was a small country church. She had four children, and her husband was a welder. Mm-hmm. So he had a shop. The farmers I grew up with were always real broad-minded about anything different. Mm-hmm. But she was just a wonderful woman, and she really influenced our community with her grace, with her love, her commitment, and his stability influenced that. She had a wonderful ministry in this community, this farm community.
Mm-hmm. So you've had a very diverse career. You and Ray have lived in different places. How have those places shaped you? I know you spent, 4 years in Denmark?
Not quite, just short of 4 years. That was a beautiful experience of getting to know people in another culture, learning how human we all are, understanding that American doesn't say human. Human says American if you've lived in America. And you know, I loved learning the language. I loved communicating with them. They're open, gracious people. I learned that from them also, how open and gracious they are. One thing I did learn, you can never think like a Dane. You can agree, you can understand their thinking, but you can't get into a two-year-old's mind. And they've been shaped by Danish culture. And I love that culture, but I couldn't be a Dane. I was American. We could share together in beautiful ways. They were just gracious people.
What did you take away from that experience?
Well, more of an understanding of others, mm-hmm. more of an openness, not so provincial, mm-hmm. not so confined to my way of thinking. Mm-hmm. Broadened my perspective on humanity, on God, grace, graciousness, hospitality. To accept us the way they accepted us was just beautiful.
Vera, you were what I would call academically a late bloomer. Though it's interesting because I never thought of you as being intellectually less than excellent. From the moment I met you, you were my Sunday school teacher, and you were always extremely bright. But you made a decision to go to college later in your life and your career. Then you worked all the way up to a PhD, and you became a college professor. What was that transition like? What influenced you to make those decisions to actually pursue academic credentials?
Well, first of all, let me start with from childhood, Jim. My mother and my sister might go shopping, but get me a book and let me sit in the car. Mm-hmm. So I grew up reading. Mm-hmm. I loved reading. I loved learning. I never just want to know what's happened. I want to know why it's happened. I did go to college right out of high school, met my husband. Mm-hmm. Then that changed my life, of course. I thought I could do it by remote, but it didn't work for me. So I had our children and finished seminary. After the children were gone, when we sent the last child off to college, I said, okay, I either want another baby or I'm going back to school. And he said, where's your transcript? And so that's what I did. Mm-hmm. I went back, finished my bachelor's degree, did a lot of substitute teaching because I worked with Ray in the ministry as much as I could. Then we moved. I needed to update my degree and to certify again. That sent me back to Wichita State, and I got a master's in marriage and family counseling there. Then we moved again about the time I finished that master's degree, and at Southern Nazarene University, I was offered a full-time position if I would continue my education. And that's where I started back to Oklahoma State and completed a PhD in educational psychology. I would still be going to school if I thought I could handle it, but I loved it. Mm-hmm. Loved every minute of it, mostly. Loved teaching. Taught sixth grade first. That was a wonderful experience in a low socioeconomic school. Wonderful children. And then it was wonderful teaching at the college level. Mm-hmm. I still have contact with many students and privileged to go with them through their journey, change and progress. So it's been a beautiful experience.
What fuels your intellectual curiosity? I mean, you've had a passion for reading since you were a child. What fuels that?
A lot of my reading relates to spiritual growth, discipline, focus of life, perspective. My first book is the Bible. I'm not a literalist. I'm not a fundamentalist. Mm-hmm. I am a follower of Christ. And I want to know what that means for my life this day. I always say my perspective gets adjusted when I spend time, and primarily in Psalms and John. Those mm-hmm. are my two favorites, and then a letter of Paul's. So that's a big part of my reading. Otherwise, I want to know. I want to know about the world. I want to understand how it functions and why things happen. Of course, I want to understand why we do the things we do. What do we do about our emotions, and how do we deal with them best? And I want to know, yeah. I guess.
I've always seen you principally and fundamentally as a teacher. And again, going back to when you were my Sunday school teacher, but also where you taught Bible studies, where you taught at the college level, you've taught it at various levels. In teaching, in terms of the legacy you leave, is it important to you with the students that you, or any audience that you're teaching, that they master the content or that they develop the same kind of passion to seek learning or information?
Both and.
Mm-hmm.
Both and. And that was always a difficult balance. Mm-hmm. I want to nurture their souls, their character, their life. Mm-hmm. I want them to love life and love learning and give mm-hmm. of themselves to life. Mastering the content had to happen to some level. But when you're studying human development, there's only a level they can reach.
Mm-hmm.
They can understand theory. They can look at philosophies and understand those kinds of perspectives. They've got to also grow in the understanding of who they are themselves, how to act in the world, how to respond to the world in a healthy, constructive way. So balancing that was tedious,
mm-hmm.
but a joy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, those meetings you go to at the beginning of a semester, you just pull yourself to those meetings. And you get to your office and you prepare your syllabi and you do all of this. And then the students arrive. And there's life and meaning when the students arrive.
Mm.
And it just ignites that passion and that love. You're anxious to know them, to engage with them, and to get them engaged in the learning process. So it's both and, mm-hmm. content and soul.
Yeah. And I think your students have picked up that energy.
Well,
and
I hope.
That's been transformative. We're talking with Vera Hance in Canute, Oklahoma. Vera has been a lifelong friend and colleague in so many different ways. This podcast is being brought to you by Servant Forge, in part, which is really committed to developing servant leaders, people who are seeking to transform their culture by being present and creating a faithful presence in that world. And our focus is on legacy, the things we've inherited, and the things that we want to transmit. So Vera, let me ask you this. You have two children?
Yes.
And how many grandchildren?
Six.
Six grandchildren. And two great-grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what is it you want to transmit to the next generation? When you think of your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, what do you want to leave behind?
I always encourage my students, and I hope I've encouraged my own little family. I have a metaphor. The scripture Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains solitary and unto itself alone. But if it dies, it brings forth a rich harvest. And I hope they understand that we're given life to give life. You know, Ray and I say that whoever comes into our lives, they've been sent there to be loved. And so God gives us somebody to love every day. And that's what I want to transmit. I want them to live that. I want them to be an open channel of God's love in people's lives. However their abilities, their talents, however their personality fits, they can always learn to love. And that's what I want to leave them.
Mm-hmm. How will you know it when you see it?
I guess I can tell you that by an example. I have a grandson who's living here now, and he is serving in kind of a little mission church. And I see him leaving at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning to drive the van to pick up Native American children. I see it. I see it in a granddaughter who memorizes scripture, 100 verses perfectly, every year of her high school career. I see a younger child, grandchild, who's never had a pet, who's learning to get up at 10 till 6 in the morning before she gets ready for school to take care of that puppy. I see them showing this kind of love. If you can nurture life, whether it's in nature or with animals, but especially with people, give yourself. I see them doing it. I see them doing it. I see my son passionate about taking care of the oppressed. I never dreamed he'd be as passionate as he is about that, but I am so thankful to God that grace is the theme of his life. I see it in my daughter giving herself to challenged, developmentally delayed and challenged three-year-olds, still changing diapers for some of them. This is just remarkable to me. I see it, Jim. I see it happening in them. Yeah. What a gift.
So it's a living legacy.
Yes.
That gives expression with the people that they come in contact with.
Yes, and I have another grandson who teaches high school in a very difficult community with children who feel they have no hope to step out of their circumstances, and yet he feels that call and gives himself to them. We'll do Bible study with anyone who would like to come to him. He's just a giver.
So have you seen that same kind of legacy in the students that you've taught and the careers that they've developed?
Oh, my, yes. Oh, it's so exciting. I have one student who is working for quality programs at Google and is now at a fairly high level in her ability and in her position at Google. I have a student who has his Master's of Social Work in Kansas City doing incredible work with the homeless, the underprivileged. I have a young woman student who is a marvelous musician doing classes with underprivileged children. And she sent me a video this week of her class of students that all had been admitted to either magnet art schools or programs that would develop their talents. So, yes, I've got many stories.
Yeah, about students have been influenced.
Yes, yeah. Of where they are and serving in the world in ways that make a difference.
One of the things that we like to ask, especially in terms of the legacy that we've inherited, the symbols or icons of our past that you've either inherited from parents or grandparents that you hold on to, that are reminders or triggers for memory. Your house is loaded with those kinds of...
It's a long life.
It's a beautiful house. It's very comfortable many ways. What are some of the most important icons or memories or symbols of your past that you've held on to?
Okay, this is not a pretty thing, but it's a communion set that my great-grandparents had. It's the pitcher and two cups. That's an icon. I have an old cottage picture, supposed to be Anne Hathaway's cottage, that my granny didn't have a whole lot, but that was on her wall, and that was like granny, and it's hanging in my house. I have icons that my brother-in-law paints that are very meaningful to me. My mother loved dishes. I have special dishes that came from grandmothers and my mother. I have the land that my grandparents and great-grandparents stayed through Dust Bowl and all kinds of hardships. This is a country where we have an oil and gas industry, and so they'd thrive for a while, and then everything would crash, and prices would fall, and they've suffered through those kinds of ups and downs in this area, and my grandparents and parents stayed throughout it all. So the land is a very meaningful. Besides, I have a strong connection to nature, and that's where I find stability and strength and connection. And so that's probably the most powerful icon of all, and of God, and His. And I want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Those are what come to mind immediately.
Borrowing a question that was found in a movie recently called Leap Year, that if your house were on fire and you were able to grab one thing besides Ray and besides your pets, what would you take?
Well, my Bible, but I'd want it in a pretty bag.
Yes.
Yeah, I love things that hold things. Yeah, bowls and chairs and bags and yes, I think really there's too much that I'd like to take. And I know God's not in. God speaks through the Word. So it wouldn't be losing God if I lose my Bible, of course. He is life. But it's what helps me keep my perspective right. So that's I think, what would be the thing I cherish most. I could say the little silver band I've worn for 58 years from Ray, but you don't have time.
Right.
So go for the Bible and a pretty bag.
So if you could put in one word, what would you want people to say about you and the legacy you've left? How would you want them to describe you?
Love.
Yeah, that's an important word. That is the word.
It's the one I have to grow into daily.
Say more about that.
There are always situations where you don't necessarily feel love. But it's so much more than a feeling. It's a commitment to respect, receive, wish good for, embrace with your heart. That's all I know to say. And you don't always feel that at a moment in time, but you grow into that because you realize that's what's got to happen. That's what God wants. That's who God is.
So we've talked about the legacy you've inherited. We've talked about the legacy that you've left. At this point in your life, in your career, in your work, what's the legacy you still want to create?
I hate to be repetitive.
Go ahead.
Generosity. Open-minded. Growing. Patient. Merciful. Kind. Generosity.
Yeah.
That's another word for the one word I would use again.
Well, interestingly enough, in interviewing your grandson for this project, I asked him one word that defined the influence that you and Ray have had in his life, and he said generosity.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. So, you are creating that legacy.
Good.
We've been talking to Vera Hance here in Canute, Oklahoma, a major influence in my life, somebody who's been there when I've needed them the most, and who have walked into my life when a lot of other people were walking out. And she has an amazing legacy that she has left in so many people's lives, and including mine. Thank you, Vera, for being a part of the Legacy Project.
It's been a pleasure.
To find out more information about this conversation and other Legacy Podcast episodes, go to servantforge.org. Please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and consider leaving us a review. We want to hear from you. We want to get your ideas and your opinions. I have a new book that corresponds with the Legacy Project titled The Seeker, Bring Me the Horizon. You can find a copy of it on Amazon or your preferred book distributor. The book corresponds closely with these podcasts. The podcast episode was produced by Matt Erickson and edited by Carissa Erickson. The music is by David Hyde. Please look for a new episode of our podcast coming out soon. Remember, you have inherited a great legacy. You have an opportunity to create a great legacy. Engage your past to build a future.